shotglassdigital.com. Rebel Force Radio is brought to you in part by Little Debbie Snacks and their new Cosmic Cupcakes. To learn more, go to littledebbie.com/cosmic cupcakes. With movies, gaming, books, comics, and collecting, a Little Debbie snack makes everything a little sweeter. Little Debbie, official snack of the galaxy.
DorksideToys.com. For the latest Star Wars action figures, Marvel, G.I. Joe, and more, visit DorksideToys.com.
A small rebel force has penetrated the shield and landed on Endor.
This is where the fun begins.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times. Star Wars number one.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Now it's time for Rebel Force Radio.
We would be honored if you would join us.
All right, Jedi junkies, Force fiends, space freaks, you got it. Rebel Force Radio for March 28th, 2014 is here to kick your weekend off right. I, of course, am Jimmy Mack. Jason Swank, not with us this week. Of course, Jason's job as one of the top marketing minds of the Cleveland theatrical scene. Sometimes it requires his schedule to pull him away from the galaxy far, far away. And unfortunately, he won't be able to join us this week. And hey, you know what? If you want to read more about what Jason actually does in his day job with the Cleveland Playhouse Square Theater as one of their top marketers there, you can check out shotglassdigital.com for a link to an interview with Jason that was conducted by the Canton Rep. And they talk all about Jason's amazing career as a marketer for major theatrical events happening in the Cleveland area. I strongly, strongly suggest you check that out. But I am not flying solo tonight. I do have a Wookiee co-pilot. He's my favorite Wookiee co-pilot, as a matter of fact. It's your favorite host from Geek Out Loud, Mr. Steve Glosson.
Jim, I've got to do my warm-ups. The Sith slink slightly.
Come on. You can do better than that.
Lando Calrissian applied for a bank loan. There we go.
So tell us what's going on over at Geek Out Loud. I did say that you are our listener's favorite host from Geek Out Loud, but that's primarily because we never had your co-host on the show, Derek. But Derek's a great guy, too. And what have you guys been up to lately on Geek Out Loud?
Well, we're actually looking forward to later this week when actually during the airing of this show, I will be in Tupelo, Mississippi with Derek. We're going to be doing some recording together. We've got the Muppets Most Wanted is out. And usually when there's something new in the Muppets horizon, it takes up a lot of our attention. If you throw Muppets or Superman in front of us, it kind of derails us, and that's what we'll talk about for a good little bit. We've been putting off James Bond. James Bond has gotten bumped more than Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel on Geek Out Loud. But we're rolling into the Muppets, and we're putting together our own little miniature network over there. We've got some wrestling stuff and some rock and roll stuff. We're having a good time over at the Geek Out Loud, geekoutpodcast.com.
We got a huge show for you. Tom Kane, legendary voice actor. You know him as Yoda from Star Wars, The Clone Wars. He'll be joining us later to talk all about the amazing season 6 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, including that incredible Yoda arc that wrapped up the entire series. Tom will have a lot to say about that. And I know I have a lot of questions for Tom about that. And also we'll be hearing about a Star Wars legend who got inducted into the 501st. And we'll take you behind the scenes of that ceremony, plus Star Wars March Madness and a whole lot more. But before we go on, Steve, I want to talk to you about our plans for Memorial Day weekend.
Excellent. Our plans. Yes.
Yes. Are you rubbing your hands together back and forth?
I am.
Yes.
Mr. Burns. Excellent.
Excellent. We have plans. Rebel Force Radio goes to Disney. That's right. We're going to the Magic Kingdom in Orlando. You, me, Wendy, the fangirls going rogue, and we hope you guys, Rebel Force Radio listeners, will be able to join us out there. It's going to be an incredible, incredible weekend, Memorial Day weekend for Star Wars weekends at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So we'll be bouncing back and forth. Got to spend some time in the Magic Kingdom when you're out there. I certainly know my family will not let me take them to Orlando without several rides on the Haunted Mansion and Splash Mountain and all that. But we're really going out there for the wars to support James Arnold Taylor and the stars who are going to be there. We, you know, we're putting our plans together now, Steve. Got some big plans, and we're working with Disney. We're working with Magical Journeys Travel, Kristen Goh. You know her from Sorcerer Radio, and she's helping us out. So if anyone wants to join us, I strongly suggest you contact Kristen at magicaljourneystravel.com/rebelforce and inquire with her about flight packages and travel packages to go out to Orlando for Memorial Day weekend. We're going to have a ball. We're targeting that Friday, May 23rd, as the day we have a get-together at the Hollywood Studios, followed by maybe some behind-the-scenes action with the talk show that goes on there during that weekend, and a group ride on Star Tours. And
I'm willing to take whoever wants to go with me to the Muppet Theater and point out every single Muppet and tell you their name and their history as well.
Ooh, you can do that.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know you had those skills.
Have you sat in the Muppet Theater and watched that deal?
Yeah, I have a couple times, actually. Yeah,
it's so good. But let me tell you something. Between that, last time I was there, I was bouncing back and forth between that and Star Tours.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's perfect. They're right next to each other.
Yep. So much fun.
So have you ever been to Star Wars weekends before?
Yeah. 2 years ago, we went down and went with some friends, had a blast. We were there. I think we went on a Saturday of that weekend. No, we went on a Friday. We went on the Friday, and James Arnold Taylor did his live show, and he was hosting, of course, and there were some other things that happened. And Jim, there was a neat moment when we were walking somewhere, and out of one of the dressing rooms, here comes Darth Vader. Now, if you see Darth Vader at a Star Wars celebration or a Star Wars fan days, and you acknowledge the Dark Lord, he's going to acknowledge you back.
How so?
It's generally a member of the 501st or someone, and he might hold up his little fingers and do a force choke or take a picture with you. This particular Darth Vader was headed to wherever he had to get to for pictures or whatever appearance he was making. And there was no stopping this guy. And so what I did is I just tried to fall in step beside him, kind of a little bit back. And I just started going, "Hey, get out of the way. Coming through. Darth Vader, ladies, get out of the way. He will eat you alive." And to this actor's credit, just kept in full Vader stride, ignoring the fat guy walking next to him. And when we had to part ways, we did. But it was It was fun. And then also something about being in Orlando and in particularly at Disney causes me to really get into a photobomb mood. And I start trying to photobomb everybody.
Oh, boy. Well, see, that's what you can expect if you join us in May, Memorial Day weekend at Star Wars weekends at Disney Hollywood Studios. Steve Glosson will show up in your family album, whether you like it or not.
There are people who are like, "Who is that fat hairy guy behind us?"
Oh my goodness. That's the type of laughs we're going to be having when we're out there. So if you are traveling by air, contact Kristen Goh at magicaljourneystravel.com/rebelforce, and she will set you up. And keep it locked in here at Rebel Force Radio. Over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to start revealing details about all of our specific plans for that weekend. But Friday will be the day. Friday the 23rd is the day we are targeting, as the day we're going to have our big Rebel Force Radio meet and greet at Disney Hollywood Studios for Star Wars weekends. Cannot wait.
Edna, is that a Wookiee?
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's
good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
News, news, we don't have too much news. We got rumors, rumors. Everywhere there's rumors when it comes to Star Wars. I don't really love spending much time on the rumors because at the end of the day, most of this discussion would be irrelevant once they finally make the big cast announcements for Star Wars Episode 7. But there's one rumor I want to point at and say I think there's a lot of steam behind it, and it's the rumor that Adam Driver, the actor from Girls, is going to be cast in the role as the villain in Star Wars Episode 7, at least as one of the villains. And there's just we're hearing stuff behind the scenes that Adam Driver is confirming to his friends that he is going to be in the next Star Wars film. His co-host, do you ever watch that show, Girls?
I don't. In fact, I went to his IMDb to see if I recognized the guy.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything that this man's been in.
No, it's just that show, Girls, is what he's primarily known for. Mm-hmm. It's on HBO, I believe. I've never seen an episode of it myself. And I kind of like it that way. I don't want to know anything about Adam. You know, I don't want to have any of these preconceived notions about him. So I'm going to avoid Girls.
Well, the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we should be very specific about that.
Yeah, because, Jim, I'm not going to avoid Girls.
But, you know, it's a Judd Apatow show.
Okay.
And features a lot of graphic sex scenes and nudity. Oh, so
I'll probably avoid that.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to be avoiding that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got a very distinct look.
He does. He looks villainous in a lot of the photos I've seen of him. He does have an evil look to him. I don't know what his character's like on Girls, but Lena Dunham, who is the star of that show, and she mostly has her clothes off in that show as well, according to the bits they were doing on Saturday Night Live when she was hosting. But Lena actually did tweet congrats to Adam.
Oh, wow.
And of course, everyone freaked out about that and assumed that that was confirmation. And she felt the heat and quickly posted up a retraction.
No congratulations to you, Adam.
That's right. I take it back.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, that's all on par with it's very consistent with what we've been hearing. You know, people send us emails. I have a friend who's a friend with Adam, and yes, he is going to be in it. And just judging by the sources here that are reporting this rumor, we're talking about Variety, Hollywood Reporter. We're talking about legitimate, responsible news outlets. Mm-hmm. You know, these are news outlets that aren't just trying to get traffic to their websites. They're not just like some bloggers with a chip on their shoulder or some fanboys with a heart on. You know, these guys are legitimate journalists and they have integrity and they're reporting this. And so when you consider these casting rumors, I must plead with our audience to always consider the source. But I really think Adam Driver does have the inside track on a role in Star Wars Episode 7 if he's not already locked and loaded.
Well, Jim, I recently, in serious business, this is not a joke, stumbled into a source that's in the UK right now. And I can't divulge too much information that this gentleman shot me about being there at the set and everything. But he did say they have nice donuts every day.
Well, pastries are everything to a professional. And so I can appreciate that. But so that's
that is a legit pull from an email from someone who's over. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah,
right
no, now. I understand that. I understand that. I don't really understand what donuts have to do with it, but
donuts, Jim. I mean, come on.
I'm trying to put two and two together here, Steve. Help me out. Help me out. What am I missing here about the donuts?
Well, this person emailed me specifically, and he knows my love of donuts.
Okay.
So he just mentioned, here's this, 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 and this, and there's donuts. But he does talk about the production being very shrouded in secrecy, and the level of security is crazy. Yeah. And he's actually getting to do some pretty neat stuff. But, like, you know, sources. But things are moving along there in the UK right now. So it's getting to be exciting times.
Absolutely. And I've heard it's even gotten as far as to where cast members are coming in for fittings. They've been seen at the sound stages as they're under construction. But like you said, everything shrouded in mystery. So that's the question I have for you now, Steve, is when will these casting announcements finally be made?
You know, I went on a rant the other day. I do a daily show called The Big Honkin' Show. We do it live on Mixlr.com. And I went on a rant the other day. I'm so sick and tired of publicists and propaganda, and not publicists, but the whole idea of publicity. And it's like, if you know something, just tell us. You know, just let us know. And I really think that once, if there's filming, if they begin filming in May, which they said, I'm going to say that soon. I mean, it has to be soon. It has to be in April or right around the time. I would hope that by the time they're filming, we know something about the casting of this movie. If not, at least the big three or four or five coming back.
So, what do you think about May the 4th is a day when they can have a big multimedia event and announce the entire cast of Star Wars Episode 7? And, I mean, it would just be right on the dawn of filming. I believe filming is going to start up, probably around week 3 of May. And so that gives you a head start, you know, and it's not uncommon for casting announcements to be made in the same month that these actors will go in front of cameras. I can't tell you how many times I've seen press releases. So-and-so is now attached to this film. Filming begins later this month. That's like the type of stuff you commonly see.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that if Bonnie Burton were still doing stuff for Lucasfilm and that sort of thing, then May the 4th would probably be high on their radar. But it just seems to me that a lot of times that's more of a fan pushed thing anymore. And the corporations and the studios don't really pay attention to it. They haven't paid much attention to it in the past, unless I'm wrong. I remember a lot of times we thought, well, we'll hear something on May the 4th. May the 4th is the perfect day. And then it comes and goes with nothing. And, because it always seems to be more of a fan-driven kind of event on May the 4th, be with you.
Right, right. And, well, the main thing that's working against my May the 4th casting announcement prediction is the fact that May 4th is a Sunday this year.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Both you and I know nothing in Hollywood happens on a Sunday.
No.
So I think soon. I think we're right on the verge here of getting the big casting announcement. Who knows? By the time this podcast gets released on Friday, that casting announcement might have already been made, you know?
Yeah, there's a good chance, Jim, that we'll finish recording and then tomorrow morning in the wee hours, they'll have the big announcement come up and boom.
That's how it works.
And my appearance will be completely disregarded.
Yeah, yeah. You'll end up on the cutting room floor, no question about it. I'll be on the phone with Swank saying, "We've scrapped the show. We need you back behind the microphone. I don't care what's going on in your little theater world.
Call Glosson. Just call Glosson. I can hear him now."
So, looking forward to that big announcement. Another big announcement that happened, gosh, I think it was last week when I became aware of it. The name Alan Ladd Jr. What does that mean to you, Steve Glosson?
It's a name that's... Well, he was the producer of a Very Brady sequel.
Was Steve, he?
Glosson out.
Well, no, stick around.
Alan Ladd Jr., of course, he very key to Star Wars, whether fans realize or not. This is the man who said yes.
He said yes. Alan Ladd was the decision maker at 20th Century Fox back in the mid-70s when George Lucas was going studio to studio pitching his ambitious space fantasy film. And Alan Ladd Jr. was the man who saw through all these weird ideas and unfinished plot threads. Because George, obviously, he was working on the script all the way up through shooting. I mean, he was revising the script while they were on the stages shooting the film. The whole revision added to the fourth draft featured the death of Obi-Wan Kenobi. That revision came to light while the film was actually being shot. And you know, a lot of our listeners have probably looked at the Dark Horse comic series, The Star Wars, based on George Lucas's rough draft. That was the draft he was using to try to sell Star Wars. It was ambitious. It was filled with characters. It was confusing at times. But Alan Ladd Jr. saw something in Lucas. He said, this guy's a winner. This guy knows how to create quality films. And 20th Century Fox is going to get behind him because I believe in him. That's Alan Ladd Jr. Without him greenlighting the production of Star Wars, it may have never happened. Rebel Force Radio wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for Alan Ladd Jr. giving the thumbs up to Star Wars. Chew on that.
It's going down slowly, but it is. He is, again, in a world of people who at the time were saying no, this is the one guy who would say yes.
That's right.
But you know, I see something here that's worth investing in, and in a visionless studio run society in the 70s, he was like, I've got a vision, and I'll get on this man's vision. So he's definitely a hero to Star Wars fans everywhere.
Absolutely. And he's still alive and kicking out there in Hollywood. He still goes to the office all the time, and he's working. And 501st Southern California Garrison knew where to track down Alan Ladd Jr. And it was a quest of the 501st very own Scott Allen, who's a friend of mine, to get Alan Ladd his props and bring him on as a friend of the Legion, of the 501st Legion. So we could tell you all about it, but I think it would be better if we just got Scott up on the line and heard his side of the story. Let's go behind the scenes with Scott Allen and the 501st induction ceremony for Alan Ladd Jr. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, man. It's so good to get caught up with you again. Of course, we've been spending some time together outside of the podcasting realm on trips to support Stephen Stanton and the film Life Itself, the documentary about Roger Ebert. So you and me, we've seen each other in L.A. and Salt Lake City, and it's just been a good old time this spring.
That's right. It's been pretty crazy, right?
It has been. It has been crazy, and you know, I hope we have some more encounters like that as we continue to support this great documentary. But that's not why we got you on the line. I remember we were out in Salt Lake City, and you and me were talking about the early history of Star Wars. And right. The subject shifted to Alan Ladd Jr., the man who gave Star Wars the green light, the legendary Fox executive. And you tipped me off to the fact that you wanted to do something very special for him to honor his contributions to the history of Star Wars. And so you wanted to bring him into the 501st as an honorary member. And here it is just a few months later, and you realized your goal, you accomplished the dream. And so tell us how it happened and what it was like when it finally did happen.
Well, I have to tell you, it was really one of the best experiences I think I've ever had. I'm a huge fan, not only of Star Wars, but of Alan Ladd Jr. anyway. I'm old enough to have seen some of his father's films and enjoyed those with my own father. And when it was a fluke, actually, his daughter ran into us at San Diego Comic-Con last year.
Uh-huh.
And when she came up to us and was like, oh, you know, do you guys happen to know Alan Ladd Jr.? Because he had something to do with Star Wars. And, you know, we almost fell over dead. We're like, of course we know who Alan Ladd Jr. is. You know, he's the reason we're standing here in these crazy costumes today outside of George Lucas. And so I just stayed in touch with her, and I was able to finally figure out a schedule where we could go and actually meet Alan himself and sit down and spend an afternoon and just talk about, you know, him and Star Wars and the days of Fox. And it was terrific.
Yeah. How about that? That's great that you were finally able to do it. So how old is Alan these days?
I hate to even guess people's ages, but I mean, I think he must be in the 75 to 80 range.
All right. Well, so
you know, I mean, he still looks good. He, you know, he gets along pretty well. He yeah. talks a little slow and methodical, but you know, I also think that's a little bit of him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and especially you know, after years and years of getting beat up in all kind of Hollywood executive meetings and whatnot,
right?
He probably speaks slow on purpose. You know,
he's like, right?
Now I'm going to take my time. I've been around all these fast talkers my whole career. I'm slowing it down here in the golden years.
Right.
But so yep. that's really great that you were able to make that connection with him, because his importance in the history of Star Wars is just of such a magnitude, because let's face it, the film got denied at Paramount. I believe United Artists said no way. If they were I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know then the third person to finally see the script and say, yeah, let's do this, was Alan Ladd. And that's because he trusted Lucas's vision. He was a fan of his from his work on American Graffiti and had a feeling that this film would be really special.
Well, and that's one of the most amazing things to me right there is the fact that after speaking to him too and hearing it right from him is that because we asked him, what was it that made you greenlight Star Wars? I mean, this was at a time when there were a lot of hokey sci-fi movies coming out. Some were, you know, okay. There were some that were very sort of dark and whatever. And what was it that about this movie that made him go, yeah, this is the one? And to be honest, he hadn't even read anything. The way I'm understanding it is he said, you know what? I saw that he wanted to do this thing. I had seen American Graffiti. I had faith in George Lucas. And I said, let's make this movie.
Unbelievable. So you sat down with him, and does he still seem to be just really surprised that the longevity of the film and the support fandom has given it over all these years is maintained and endured?
I think dumbfounded is the word. I think when I expressed to him the reason that we had gone to meet him was to interview him for the 501st cast, and then of course we had to talk about what is the 501st Legion and what do we do. And when we explained that, you know, there's over 6,000 people worldwide that dress up in Imperial costumes and celebrate Star Wars and celebrate all the things that the 501st is about as well, he couldn't believe that that was actually happening 40 years later.
Unbelievable. So where did this happen? Where did you meet up with him and take us from there? Because I have some audio I'd like to play of the actual induction ceremony itself.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, well, we had toyed around with a lot of different things. I mean, my own personal feeling was, my gosh, man, this is Alan Ladd Jr. I wanted to do an induction that would be spectacular and have a bunch of stormtroopers and people in costumes. But the reality is, he didn't really know what the 501st Legion was. And I think his daughter, I was talking to her, and she was a little hesitant, I guess, about, you know, that he's a little more shy and that might have been too much for him. So we decided to go ahead and just arrange a meeting at his offices here in Los Angeles over on Sunset. And we set up a date and time, and we went to his offices and set up a conference room, basically. And he came in, and he was very cordial and very nice to us. And, you know, he was just like the nicest guy I think you'd ever want to know. And we sat down, and we just, you know, popped on the recorder and started talking. And, you know, an hour and a half later, and of course I've edited it down, but you know, we had this great interview with Alan Ladd, and then at the end of it, we didn't tell him we were going to do this induction. We kind of wanted to just make that a surprise. So at the very end of that, I was like, oh, wait a second, Alan, there's one more thing we need to talk about. And we were able to surprise him with our honorary member plaque that we do, and a very nice badge, you know, honorary member badge, and you know, a challenge coin and a couple of patches and all the usual things that we love to bestow on honorary members in the 501st. So it was great. And his daughter was there, and they, you know, they're making a documentary about him as well, which we can talk about. But so they had like a little film crew there as well to sort of capture it all, which I think it may even be in the documentary when all is said and done.
Oh, great, great. Well, let's take our listeners there. Let's go to Alan Ladd Jr.'s office. Does he have a lot of Star Wars and movie memorabilia around on the walls?
He does actually have quite a few things around the office. I think a little bit was staged for the interview.
Oh, wow.
But, but it's pretty cool.
Well, here it is. Here's the actual induction ceremony of Alan Ladd Jr. as an honorary member into the 501st Legion.
It's staggering that it's continue to go on this long. It's right.
I mean, I
just started out making a movie and saying yes to a movie I didn't know was going to be this, you know, the 20, 40 years later that would still be.
I think that's the shock that so many people think, too, is like, look at this film. Because I can't think of anything. When I think about so many other films, there's nothing that comes to my mind that is the same kind of phenomenon
that
Star Wars has become.
No, there isn't. It's amazing. It truly is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's continued like this. I mean, George has kept it alive. I mean, I have had nothing to do with it. It's all been George's mind that keeps this stuff alive. I mean, there's still more toys this year, I heard, than they did the previous year.
I have to say that we couldn't get this close to you and not be able to tell you that the 501st Legion is completely founded on Star Wars. We, the Legion, have through the years sought out the people that have made these things happen and asked them to, without having to do anything, join us in what we do in becoming an honorary member of the 501st Legion.
Right.
And so I have brought some things today because you, by far, my friend, are one of the most important persons that has anything to do with the 501st and with Star Wars.
Oh.
And so we have this plaque for you that shows our appreciation, has your name, and basically states that you are an official honorary member of the 501st Legion. We also have for you this badge that, should you ever decide you want to come and hang out with us at a Comic-Con, we'll get you a ticket, but that is an honorary member badge that states that you are one of our important honorary friends of the Legion. And, Alan, for you, the most important thing, too, is this is what we call a challenge coin. And these are just a special coin that, you know, sometimes people carry them with them. But if you ever see one of our members and show that to them and they don't have one with them, they owe you a drink.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the most important thing to know right there. That, again, it is such a pleasure and such an honor to speak with you.
And
to have a few minutes of your time like this. So we're really thrilled.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Wow. Wow. That was great. So you guys weren't like dressed up as stormtroopers when you were doing this presentation, were you?
No, we wore a little bit. You know, we wore a sort of officials 501st shirts, just so perhaps if there were photos, you know, we'd look like somebody who knew somebody. I don't know. It was just a really simple meeting. The best part of the thing was after the whole challenge coin thing, I told him that, of course, if you know he challenge somebody and they did have a coin, he was in trouble.
Okay, yeah, it works both ways.
That's right. That means he has to buy everybody else drinks.
Scott, I loved it when you're like, well, we have a few things here for, and you can kind of hear you laying it all out, and he just goes, oh, yeah.
And that's exactly the reaction. He was looking at it like, what is going on? So it was really great.
I like how you tell him he's not committed to do anything. At that point where he says,
yeah. Right.
Because that's the first thing, you know, he's probably thinking is like, what do these guys want from me? Money?
Right.
You got to shake me down. But of course, you guys, you know.
Who are these hoodlums? Why are they in my office anyway?
But of course, what you guys do is all based out of passionate fandom, and money is never an object when it comes to the 501st. You guys do nothing but charity work and give back to the fandom that has given you guys so much throughout the years, throughout your lifetimes. Yeah. So who else was there with you?
I had a couple of my garrison mates there. I had Mark Edwards with me, and I had Matt Riggins. He actually is the one who provided the audio recording equipment because I didn't have anything portable myself. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much to both of them. And then, as I said, his daughter, Alan Ladd's daughter, Amanda, was there. One of their film crew for the documentary was there. His name is Chip. And, you know, a couple of other guys in the background just enjoying watching the whole interview process.
Well, cool. And Mark Edwards, of course, is a great member of the 501st and a great photographer. So I'm sure he was snapping a lot of pics. Is there a place our listeners can go to see photos of this amazing ceremony?
You know, we don't actually have a lot of photos that we've put any place up online or anything. We're going to probably post up a few once we do our 501st cast, which will air in April. And we'll have some photos off of our site. So 501st.com/podcast. There'll be some photos there. And, you know, we're also, we talked to them a little bit. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, they're making a documentary
right.
on Alan Ladd Jr. called Laddie, and it'll be Laddie Movie. And his daughter is the one who's producing the film, and that's actually how she found us at the San Diego Comic Con. So it was really great. Also, we spent probably 15 or 20 minutes at the Comic Con where she also filmed myself and a couple of other My Garrison members talking about our knowledge of Alan Ladd and what he meant to us and what he meant to the Star Wars franchise as well. And it's been an ongoing sort of passion of hers for the past about year and a half, 2 years, I think.
So great. And of course, our listeners can get involved and contribute to the production of this film.
Yeah, they're actually planning to, you know, they've got a lot of the filming done, but now they're running low on funds to get sort of everything edited and put together. So they're looking at doing a Kickstarter in the month of April. And you'll be able to search them out as either just Laddie or Laddie Movie on the Kickstarter website. And we're hoping to, you know, help them get that done, because I think it's an important documentary from a lot of points of view, but especially as a Star Wars fan, I'd love to see this thing completed.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Because, of course, Alan Ladd Jr., that is very important in the birth of Star Wars. We cannot overemphasize that. He was
absolutely,
you know, he's the man who funded it. And then when George ran out of money, he gave George more money to complete some amazing special effects that were the hallmark of that film. So, well, this is great news. It's great to get caught up with you, Scott. And congratulations on a job well done. Of course, our listeners can hear the entire interview with Alan Ladd Jr. on 501stcast. That'll be coming out in April. And, of course, we'll be having links to that interview on our Facebook page and social networking platforms and wherever else you get information about Star Wars and the 501st. I'm sure you'll be hearing about this very soon. So, Scott, all my best to my brothers in the 501st, especially in the SoCal Garrison, and looking forward to seeing you guys out and about at conventions and special events as we ramp up toward Star Wars Episode 7 coming out in 2015.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks so much for having me on, too. I really appreciate it, Jimmy Mac.
Anything for you, my friend. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Scott Allen, 501st SoCal Garrison, great job in recognizing one of the true heroes in the history of Star Wars. The man who gave Star Wars the green light, Alan Ladd Jr. Of course, the entire induction ceremony was shot on film, and it will be part of the documentary his daughter's making called Laddie. And you can see info about that project at laddiemovie.com. And if you want to contribute to the production of that film financially, you can go to Kickstarter.com. Just do a search of Laddie Movie, and you can actually donate to the cause. So that'll be next month when the Kickstarter fundraising campaign begins. So in April, keep your eyes open. We'll put up links on our Facebook page and spread the word that way. But thank you so much to Scott Allen and the 501st for, like I said, recognizing a true hero in the history of Star Wars.
Welcome to This Is Madness, the Star Wars character tournament. We would be honored if you would join us.
It's happening again, Steve.
It's the only March Madness I care about, Jim. I'm sorry to jump the gun on the lead, but it's the only March Madness I care about.
That's right. This is Madness, the Star Wars character tournament. It's back. It's back for 2014. Matt Martin and the crew at StarWars.com once again putting together brackets, placing some of our favorite Star Wars characters, iconic characters from the saga, up against each other to rate the popularity of these characters amongst Star Wars fans. And it's kind of funny that this is happening, because within recent weeks here on Rebel Force Radio, we've been sort of having a friendly little debate about the popularity of certain characters. Most specifically, when Mr. Jason Swank claimed that Han Solo is the most popular character in Star Wars. And I took him to task on that. I think that not only is Han Solo not the most popular character in Star Wars, he's not even close to being the most recognizable character in Star Wars. I think if you're going to talk about who is the most popular character in Star Wars, I would say it's Darth Vader, it's Yoda, it's R2 and 3PO, you know, the non-humanoids.
Yeah, Chewbacca. I think it skews. I'm I'm with you. I think it skews toward Darth Vader and the droids, with Yoda coming in there. I'm also, I was thinking about this the other day, or I heard someone talk about like the top 10 most recognizable on another podcast, and they completely left out Jabba the Hutt. And I remember 1983, Jabba the Hutt was everywhere.
Oh, sure.
On stuff. And so I feel like he would be up there. I think people would be surprised to see how popular Jabba is, or how recognizable Jabba may be.
And I mean, my gosh, I mean, casual fans will use Jabba as a put down or an insult sometimes.
Tell me about it.
Oh, you don't hear that kind of thing. If anyone ever wants to start shooting off his mouth that way toward you, he's going to have to go through me first.
Well, Jim, have you voted? I mean, have you participated in this thing at all?
No, I have not. I have to admit, I have. Yes.
A few times, not consistently, but a few times. And right now the matchups that are going on as we're recording now, they'll already be over by the time this is posted. But you have on the light side, Han Solo versus Hondo Inaka, and on the dark side you have Palpatine versus Dooku.
Ooh, now see, that's an interesting showdown.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of these are really kind of, you know.
Well,
they're weighted these things in a certain direction. I fear
they really are. Some of you've got some seed, you've got some lower seeds against some higher seeds. But I was surprised in one of the initial matchups, first round matchups, it was Obi-Wan and Luke Skywalker, and Obi-Wan came out on top.
Wow.
Yeah, 65% to 35% of the vote.
Now, are we talking about a prequel era Obi-Wan, or just
the picture they have is a prequel era Obi-Wan.
So I just, I guess,
but I feel like Obi-Wan spans the saga. You have to, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The thing that really surprised me was there was a matchup of Chewbacca versus Lando.
Ooh, that's another tough one.
Well, you would think so. Chewbacca won.
Yeah.
84% of the vote. To 16% for Lando.
You know, I just really think that the non-human characters are the ones that, you know, ring with fans as far as is the popularity. You know, I mean, that's what makes Star Wars fun and exotic and different and exciting, are the non-human characters. I mean, imagine a Star Wars populated by nothing but humans.
Well, it wouldn't be Star Wars. It would be some Earth movie. This is not Star Wars. In the first round also, they had Darth Vader pitted against Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader won. Yes. 76% to 24%.
Yeah.
That was a bigger gap than what I expected. The real surprise to me was how greatly Chewbacca won over, Lando. But now this is what we're going to see in some round two voting. R2-D2 versus Princess Leia. Yoda versus Obi-Wan.
Okay, all right.
And Chewbacca is probably, right now it looks like it's going to be Chewbacca versus Han Solo, unless Hondo Inaka makes some kind of miraculous comeback.
Hondo doesn't stand a chance. We love Hondo here on Rebel Force Radio, but he does not stand a chance against the scruffy nerf herder.
Exactly. But you're going to have Chewbacca paired off against Han Solo. And I think that's really an interesting set of brackets. Obviously, they weighted that one to end up potentially with that, because you would have had either Lando versus Han or Chewbacca versus Han there.
Talk about a civil war, brother versus brother.
Yep. You've got Tarkin versus Grievous coming up in the second round, Boba Fett versus Jango Fett coming up in the second round, and it looks like it could end up being Darth Vader versus Palpatine in the second round. So
Vader will take it.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's going. Last year, I believe it came down to Yoda and Vader. Depending on who wins with R2 and Leia, of course, I don't know. Yoda and Obi-Wan could be a close one too. It could end up being if Yoda. I feel like if Yoda can get past the voting with Obi-Wan, it's going to probably end up being Yoda and Darth Vader again,
and Yoda, of course, the reigning champion of last year's Star Wars March Madness. He beat Darth Vader by 55% to 45%. So, a mere 10% difference between the two. Very close, very close. And Yoda himself actually spoke to ESPN's Max Kellerman, Boy, this is getting too real. But he spoke to Max Kellerman on ESPN and had this to say.
What are your thoughts on This Is Madness 2014?
Excited I am to defend my title. New divisions and entrants there are. Make the tournament even better. They will. Fun it will be to see who wins. Yes.
Would you mind giving us a quick scouting report on some of those involved this year?
Proceed.
Boba Fett.
Formidable. But then, into the Sarlacc did a blind smuggler, fresh out of carbon freeze, send him screaming.
Ooh, Salacious Crumb?
Loyal. Laughs at everything. Misunderstood he is. Good in him, I sense.
What? Salacious Crumb?
I sense good in him.
I don't
How?
Get it.
How do you sense good in Salacious Crumb?
I don't get that.
I've got to call shenanigans on Yoda. I feel like he's doing that thing that athletes do when they kind of talk up the competition a little bit, you know, so as to not have any locker room or bulletin board material, you know, for everyone to get fired up about. I feel like he's trying to just kind of I feel like he fears Salacious Crumb in a showdown. I really do.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's Star Wars March Madness. Steve Glosson's got the brackets filled out. Why don't you do the same? Go visit StarWars.com and partake in the fun. And, I bet you're right. I bet we'll see a showdown between Yoda and Darth Vader. And I wouldn't be surprised if the outcome is the same this year as it was last year, with Yoda winning handsomely over the Dark Lord of the Sith. I really think Yoda is the most popular character in Star Wars. Darth Vader, close second. No question about it.
Take that swing.
Take it to the bank. You know, with this conversation we've been having about the most popular character in Star Wars, it's got our listeners thinking about it and letting their creativity run wild. And Warren Duxbury from Australia actually took to the streets, and he's asking passerbys about Han Solo and Boba Fett. This was a source of contention between me and Mr. Swank. I said Boba Fett was more popular than Han Solo, and Jason said, no way, you're nuts. But Warren took a couple photos out there. He had in his left hand a picture of Han Solo, in his right hand a picture of Boba Fett, and he went out onto the streets of Australia and asked passerbys what they thought of these photos. And maybe from this little a piece of audio, we can determine who just the normal people out there on the streets of metropolitan cities worldwide, who do they consider is the most popular character in Star Wars.
Hey, Rebel Force Radio listeners, it's Warren here from Australia, going out and about for the boys to find out who is the most popular character in the Star Wars franchise out of Boba Fett or Han Solo.
This is ridiculous.
I have with me a picture of Boba Fett, and I'm about to ask people on the street who they can identify. Excuse me, sir, can you tell me who is this famous character from a Hollywood film?
I have no idea who that is, I'm afraid. It rings no bells. Is it a character from Iron Man?
Oh, yes, from Star Wars. About Boba Fett?
Close. Yeah, Boba Fett.
Close.
Most people say Boba.
Yeah, come on.
Boba Fett?
Is it something off Star Trek? I don't know who that is, no.
Close. What if I said Star Wars?
Oh, yeah? No. Still don't know.
It's obviously a space person. Might be from Star Wars or one of those movies.
No. Possibly Star Wars.
Put Captain Solo in the cargo hold.
Can you identify this character from a Hollywood film?
No.
No idea?
None.
What about this character?
Star Wars. Harrison Ford.
Do you know the character name?
No.
That is, yes, that's Han Solo.
Oh, I know that one. That's Han Solo from Star Wars. Or Harrison Ford.
Han Solo.
I'm aware of Harrison Ford and his Han Solo adventures in Star Wars.
Is that Luke Skywalker?
Close.
What are you talking about?
It's Harrison Ford, but I have no idea.
Han Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, Han Solo. Not going to forget him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You don't forget Han Solo. Okay.
I love you.
Well, there you go, Jimmy and Jason. It appears that Boba Fett isn't as recognizable to the everyday person on the street. I hope this was helpful. This is Woz from Oz. Happy to be your man on the street this week for Rebel Force Radio.
All right. Well, then maybe, you know, Jason does have a little fuel for the fight. And perhaps, yes.
Don't forget what I said.
What did you say?
I told him earlier, eat it, Swank, and now, no, don't eat it.
Don't eat it. Don't eat it.
I like to picture Warren out in the outback for like 2 months, just waiting for people to come by.
I don't think he was like standing in a swamp or anything. I think he
like
was
fighting off big crocodiles and whatnot.
Well, I would have liked to have heard him interview a crocodile. You know, that crocodile would say Yoda for sure.
Yes.
Well, Warren, thank you so much for doing that reporting work for us. And we'll send you a free Rebel Force Radio t-shirt. So thank you so much, sir. And if you guys ever want to do something similar to what Warren did, feel free to send us an MP3 at show@rebelforceradio.com. Now, Steve.
Yes.
The Little Debbie Cosmic Cupcakes giveaway is back again. Yes.
Did I win this time?
No, you are ineligible.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what we can do about fixing that. Maybe we get you out a little galactic snack pack of your very own. But Little Debbie, they love Star Wars so much, and they love you, the Rebel Force Radio listening audience, that they want to give back. They want to give you Little Debbie snack cakes to enjoy while you listen to Rebel Force Radio or watch Star Wars The Clone Wars on Netflix. All you have to do to become eligible to win is post something mentioning Cosmic Cupcakes and Rebel Force Radio on Little Debbie's official Facebook page or tweet at Little Debbie and include hashtag Rebel Force Radio or just mention us somehow so we know that you're spreading the word about Little Debbie and you become eligible to win. The Little Debbie snack pack. We've had so many happy listeners who have won, and we're going to announce a new winner right now. This week, we're going to Twitter. We're going to the Twitter for the tweets about Little Debbie snack cakes. And this week's winner of a Little Debbie Galactic snack pack is, from Twitter, Darth Hound. As in dog. As in dog. Every dog has its day here on Rebel Force Radio. And Darth Hound tweeted at Little Debbie, all these pics of cosmic cupcakes are making me hungry for more great content from Rebel Force Radio. Pavlov in action. There you go. The dog is drooling. He wants Little Debbie snack cakes. And God bless him. He's going to get them. Little Debbie Galactic Snack Pack coming your way, Darth Hound, courtesy of Little Debbie Snacks and your friends here at Rebel Force Radio. Now, before we go on, I just wanted to bring up a family connection to Little Debbie Snacks.
Oh, I've got many family connections to Little Debbie Snacks.
Well, this is Rebel Force Radio family, and I didn't know this, but Clone Wars actor, you know him as Tarkin from the Clone Wars, Steven Stanton, has a longtime connection to Little Debbie, and it goes beyond just loving their amazing snacks. Steven actually voiced a character in a Little Debbie snack cake commercial back when Little Debbie was working with NASCAR. I don't know if they still do sponsor a car, but I do recall that they did sponsor the car driven by Australian driver Marcus Ambrose. And their mascot, because Marcus, like our reporter from Warren Duxbury from Australia, Marcus is also from Down Under. And
I wonder if they know each other.
I wonder, maybe Marcus Ambrose was actually one of the voices we heard on the recording.
He's like, I have no idea who that person is.
He takes off, you know.
Yeah.
But Steven voiced a character on their TV commercial. The character was Sydney the Koala Bear. He was their NASCAR mascot. And Steven did a commercial with Marcus Ambrose, NASCAR driver. And so here it is. The first voice you'll hear is Steven Stanton as Sydney the Koala.
Sorry, mate. I love these things.
Thought you only ate eucalyptus leaves.
Oh, no, that's just a myth. We also eat zebra cakes.
And nutty bars.
Well, you think you're the only species with good taste?
There you go. The vocal stylings of Steven Stanton on a Little Debbie commercial. Boy, I wish I knew what year that was from, but I don't.
I love zebra cakes and nutty bars.
That's good stuff.
That's totally serious business right there, sir. Love zebra cakes and nutty bars.
That is serious business. So Little Debbie Snacks, you want to learn more about all their tasty goodness, go to littledebbie.com. All right, we promised you Tom Kane in the cantina to talk about the amazing season 6 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, The Lost Missions, and Yoda's quest to become immortal within the Force itself.
Star Wars cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
He's Yoda from Star Wars The Clone Wars. He's Tom Kane. How's it going, Tom?
Terrific. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You know, a lot of times when you and me have conversations, especially on the air, they're usually in person. This is the first time I think we've actually done a, quote, phoner with you on Rebel Force Radio. And I'll tell you why there's urgency here, sir, is because Season 6 of Star Wars The Clone Wars, The Lost Missions is now available on Netflix, along with each and every episode from the series and the feature film release. And it's so important that we talk to you specifically about the final arc in Season 6 and in the entire series, featuring the character that you bring life to on Star Wars The Clone Wars, Yoda. We're talking about a story arc that goes across 4 episodes, The Lost One, Voices, Destiny, and Sacrifice. And these episodes, Tom, tackle the concept of the Force like never before.
Well, they did. And, you know, I was talking to Dave Filoni. They had a press conference is the best way to put it, but to sort of announce the Netflix deal. And one of the things Dave was very definite on was that George did this very much on purpose, that he obviously knew that the company wasn't going to be entirely his to control in the not-too-distant future. And he really wanted to establish some stuff. He wanted to get some concepts out there and some explanations and whatever other words you want to apply to that, to the Yoda arc, and set them in stone as canon, as sort of one of the last things he did. Stuff that, you know, was in his head for years and years and years, but really there was no venue for him to put it out there. I mean, short of calling up an author and saying, hey, can you work this into your next book? You know, there really was no way, to do what he wanted to do, because there was nothing on, there was nothing happening except for Clone Wars. And the way the Clone Wars had evolved and the way the plot had developed, he saw that this was just a perfect vehicle to establish some stuff that he wanted set in stone. And that's the Yoda arc. And the concepts that are in there very much came from George. Obviously everybody else that writes on the show, you know, they had their two cents as well. And there were many lengthy conversations going far into the night from what I was told. But that's really, you know, when you peel it down to the core, that's really what those episodes were about. Was George Lucas himself saying, I need to get this in writing, so to speak, and set this one in cement.
Yeah, right. Etch it in stone.
Yes.
And these are definitely concepts that may have we may have scratched the surface a little bit with the Mortis trilogy from a few seasons ago, but this really does attack the whole concept of the Force, the whole nature of the Force, in a very profound way. And we actually get to see Yoda embark on this quest to sort of restart his training to learn the trick of Jedi immortality. So obviously this is a very huge topic. It might be something that we thought would have been tackled a little bit more in the prequels, but it was still left vague. And now here we're seeing Yoda actually training to go on this path to become essentially an immortal And it's just a very heavy concept. So what was your reaction upon seeing the script for the first time? Did Dave have to hold your hand and sort of direct you, guide you, give you more insight than usual? I mean, how did that all go down?
Well, I probably could have gotten a lot more than I did from David, but Dave was I don't know how to describe it. We were both sort of so, in my case, kind of stunned by what I was reading. He had already seen it, of course, and helped create it. He wasn't stunned when I was talking to him, but I could tell that this was something that was way out of the ordinary. This is something that was special, and he didn't go into it a whole lot because he said, you know, I want to see your take on this. I just want to hear what pops out of you just naturally. And I asked a few questions, obviously, because I was just like, what the, is this for real? Did George allowed this? And he was like, oh, George didn't just allow it, my friend. It really was, and part of it was that in the past, I've been really weird about reading scripts. I don't read them because sounds completely ridiculous. I don't want to know what the whole episode's about other than what I need to know to deliver my lines. And, of course, that's where Dave comes in as a director. He just gives me the minimal amount of explanation necessary to get the scenes out of me. And beyond that, doesn't really go into detail because over the years, I've kind of told him I don't want him to do that because I want to be able to watch these things when they come on as a fan. And it's worked out really well because you combine me not really reading the script unless absolutely necessary. And couple that with the fact that it takes, 6 to 9 months to finish an episode from the time we record it to the time it aired. Yeah, and I got to watch him just like you did.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Everybody else did.
You didn't go to the screening they had in December for some.
No, I didn't. No, I tried to go to that one. I ended up spending 6 hours in the airport because that massive snowstorm had hit a few days before on the Eastern Seaboard, and it basically shut down the availability of a lot of airplanes on this side of the country, and literally, they just didn't have an airplane. They could not get me to Northern California that day. So I sat and I missed the whole thing, and I was heartbroken. And then, of course, this thing came up with Netflix, and they decided to do the same thing. They aired the Yoda arc as part of the event. So they had asked me to come up to do that anyway, to do PR and talk to, do interviews and stuff like that. And then when I found, I was like, well, of course, I'm like, anything for the cause. And then I found out that they were going to air the Yoda arc. I'm like, man, you couldn't keep me away from this because, I've got a nice, I'm what most people would consider a ridiculously extravagantly large theater in my home that I built just so I don't have to go to theaters around here that never fail to have four gum-snapping, phone-calling 13-year-old girls who ruin the movie.
Oh, that's the worst.
I just don't go anymore. Yeah. They've ruined. I think it was Spider-Man or something that I was in, and they just ruined the movie. And we were in the process of building the house, and I said, we're going to do a little redesign.
Good for you.
But as cool as my theater is, when I had I realized, oh my gosh, I'm not just going to get to see this on a screen bigger than mine. I'm going to get to see it on a sound system that's probably the best in the world, with a digital projection that's probably the best in the world. And you couldn't have you would have had to have bought me over the head and tied me to a bantha to keep me away from San Francisco that day. So
I do have to agree with you. I think that screening room there at Lucasfilm in the Presidio is the finest movie theater in the world.
I mean, you know, there are bigger ones. Well, the one up at the ranch is bigger.
Yeah.
But the sound.
Yeah.
In the picture, I mean, you. I mean, because this is the theater, you know, that they use now for screening bits and pieces. You know, when they want, when the director is coming in for, you know, the next Batman movie or the next Thor movie and wants to see a special effect that just cost $2 million. They want to be able to show it to him and have his mouth fall open.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the room they do it in. So yeah. I was like, oh yeah. I mean, it was, it lived up to, I mean, I was sitting next to Sam
mm-hmm.
And Matt. And at one point I turned to Sam and I kind of gestured at the screen. I said, that's artwork. I mean, the quality of the color and the scenery and the CGI, and it was absolutely, just forget what it was, forget what the point of it was. It was just visually breathtaking, and the sound was ridiculous. I could hear crickets chirping, you know, little alien otherworldly crickets chirping, and for a change it wasn't D Baker.
You have to turn around looking for D yeah. with the crickets. But wow, that's amazing. I mean, this story arc just is eye candy galore. It's really what a way to go out. What an incredible grand finale it was for the series. And there's something almost romantic about the fact that the first episode of the series in season one, Ambush, featured Yoda. So it makes all the sense in the world to bookend it at the tail end with episodes featuring Yoda as well. Yeah. And that must be an honor for you.
Oh, no, it absolutely is. And Dave, you know, he said the same thing, and I got all choked up. I'm like, well, okay, I'll take that. But
so you finally got to see these episodes, and it must have just knocked your socks off like the rest of us. I mean, for starters, the return to Dagobah, that's something I think Star Wars fans have been wanting to see for the longest time. They came close to putting Yoda on Dagobah at the very end of Revenge of the Sith, but that scene was ultimately cut out of the final film, and you could see it on the DVD as far as the bonus features go. It's an outtake. But you know, sending the character back to that planet that he so instantly connected to must have been a thrill for you. I don't think that really any secrets were revealed about this weird mystic power that planet has, especially considering the tree cave. But we did get some good looks at it to where you can see that there was definitely man-made structures within that tree.
Oh, that's funny. That's exactly the comment I made afterwards in the Q&A session with they actually allowed some fans to come in again. And it's so freaking cool. I mean, Lucasfilm is, I mean, here they're doing this. It's for the press. It's for Netflix. They bring us up, and then what do? They let a couple hundred just fans come in. It's like that. I'm sure we're sitting there trying not to wet themselves. But so they had a little Q&A session at the end, and that was one of the first things I said was, dude, something's been here before, obviously. There's more to Dagobah than people realize, because there are steps.
Mm-hmm.
Those are stone steps. So that one just tiny little detail, it was just that alone, you're just like, okay, there's another whole story here.
There actually is. There is a history to Dagobah, and whether or not it actually gets revealed, the only time will tell. But something tells me that that's always going to be shrouded in mystery. And it wasn't really until, God, just really in recent history that I think fandom became aware of the fact that it could be a man-made structure based on the looks we get of it in Empire Strikes Back, where you see Mark Hamill standing there, but there is a distinct wall behind him at one point. And it yeah. appears Yoda passes through that wall, and he's standing in the exact same spot that Luke Skywalker had the vision of Darth Vader in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Well, the thing that, you know, that was something that everybody, you know, when the when the character called the father and all that stuff, and that the arc on was it Mortis?
Yeah,
they all got a little glimpse of the future, but then of course his memory was wiped. You know, that right there was, for me, just as a fan, was like, oh man, there's something that's going to come out of that. There's got to be some sort of follow up, which I think, in a way, the Yoda arc is. It is a part and parcel of that same thing. The same energy, the same aspect of the Force that gave Anakin that glimpse into the future, is what's happening with Yoda, and he's, you know, there's stuff that's going on that he, for a change, probably for the first time in Yoda's very long life, he has absolutely no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that sometimes. He's a little freaked out, you know? And that's just not something that we've ever seen, is freaked out Yoda. He's clearly outmatched, and he knows it. So that alone was like another lovely little layer on this Force tort of new things that, hey, I like that, a Force tort.
Force torts. Force tort. Let's tell Ashley Eckstein about those. She's the sweetaholic in the Star Wars family. She would love that. But, you know, it's one of those situations for Yoda. It's like whatever doesn't kill him is only going to make him stronger.
Yeah.
And everything he goes through in this story arc, he emerges from this experience being a stronger Jedi, someone who has a focus that's different than any other Jedi before him, save for maybe Qui-Gon Jinn, who had the foresight to realize that there's more beyond the plane that we live in. So when Yoda pinches Luke Skywalker's shoulder in Empire Strikes Back and says, "Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter," this story arc really does put a lot of backbone behind that statement.
And oh, yeah.
It helps flesh all that out for us.
No, funny you should say that, because that's what went through my mind, was it puts a great big rancor-sized, you know, thigh full of meat on that bone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it fleshed it out in an epic way.
Absolutely. And there were some great cameos in this story. Liam Neeson showed up to be Qui-Gon Jinn again. Mark Hamill makes his Clone Wars debut. How great
was
that?
How cool was that? I mean, that was something Dave was talking about as well that night. He said, you know, we've been talking to Mark about doing something with him from the day this thing started. And he said, but I never took Mark up on his offer, or at least his agreement to do something, because it had to be something just ridiculously, you know, special. You know, I'm not going to throw him in as a droid, you know, or a bounty hunter that comes and goes in two episodes. You know, he's like, I've got to come up with something. And then when this developed, he, you know, had that smack himself in the head moment and said, well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be the dude.
And as Dave told us last week on Rebel Force Radio, it's such a contrast to the type of character Mark Hamill is typically associated with in Star Wars, is the clean cut hero.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you couldn't get further away than this.
Right. Right. It was so incredible to see him as Darth Bane and Jamie King, of course, is the priestesses.
All of them.
And you know what? She really gave a lot of personality to each and every one.
She really did. I, I'll be completely honest. I didn't know that until afterwards. I didn't know Jamie did all of that. I knew she was in it as the, and I'm thinking, I'm actually going, gee, I wonder which one. I think that's her. No, yeah, that's. I decided I'd picked one of them. You know, the one that talked the most. I was going, well, that. And then I'm gonna have. And then when I found out after the show, wait, that those were all Jamie?
Yeah.
No, she is. You know, it's really exceedingly rare to run across on camera people that belong in voiceover. Mark, hands down, probably the best example of that. And Jamie's on the list now. She has been for a while, but man, that cemented it in my mind.
Yeah, you know, it definitely did take her voice acting skills to the next level because it was a true display of her versatility. And something just tells me that Star Wars brings the best out of her.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it does. If you're a fan, you know, I mean, we've had people that, that come in and you can, I mean, no one has ever given a bad performance on Star Wars. If they had, Clone Wars, if they had, no one ever would have heard it. Dave would have just replaced it. And, which happened a couple times.
Sounds like Evil Yoda was coming up there for a second.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, so if there was a problem with a performance, and it, not necessarily a bad performance, but more maybe just didn't match the character the way they thought it would, then Dave doesn't have any problem with finding someone and bringing them in and replacing it.
Scrapping it, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Jamie is, she was just phenomenal. And I find it hard to imagine that she won't be showing up in other incarnations, in Rebels and whatever else that comes down the pike.
Well, fantastic. What about you? Have they reached out to you to be a voice or return?
Well, the short answer is no, not yet. The longer explanation is that they will. Dave, I was giving him some crap about that the other day. I'm like, hey, how come I've been? Well, he goes, we haven't made like 100 episodes yet. but yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll put you in. He goes, remind me. But, and that is a lot of it. It is, it sounds silly because we're talking about a gigantic undertaking that means the world to millions and tens of millions of people. I mean, but it does sometimes come down to, you know, just reminding him. And saying, "Hey, you got any droid? You need a droid or something?" And he'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I got something you might be able to use." Because their first inclination, of course, as it was in Clone Wars and every other cartoon, is just to use the people that are there in front of you. You know, because one of the vagaries of the Screen Actors Guild contract that we all work under is they can have an actor do three voices.
Yes.
Before you have to pay him for any anymore. So
three is a magic number.
Yeah, exactly. always three. There are. Right. With voices anyway. So, you know, most of the time you're going to eat up the characters, the incidental characters with, the people that are on hand. But I know a lot of what is going on is they're going to avoid using most of the Clone Wars cast as major characters, partly because you want Rebels to be its own creature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs to be its own thing, and it needs to have the connections to the projects that have come before be Star Wars based, not personality based.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, as much as I would love to, you know, hand me some wonderfully juicy bounty hunter role, and of course I'll bug Dave to do that, but if it doesn't sound so radically different that most fans can't figure out that that's me, then it'll take away from the show. You don't want the audience sitting there going, is that Tom Kane? I think that's Tom Kane. I'm not sure. I think that's Tom. No, it's not. Well, if they're doing that, they're not watching the show.
Right.
So, and as much as we all would love to have them hire us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, that might be good for us and our egos, but it's not what's best for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect, you know, there will be exceptions, I'm sure. I mean, I cannot imagine them not using Dee, some of the troopers, just because they got to kind of sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine them not using D for, you know, they're going to need some monsters and some aliens. And there's only a couple guys in the industry that can do what he does.
Right.
You know, but are they going to, bring a bounty hunter in that sounds an awful lot like Cad Bane? But it's not Cad Bane. No, they're never going to do that.
Right.
No, they may bring Corey in for something else, and then they'd be really smart to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's, it, we'll see. I mean, I, you know, and of course, you know, that may change as time goes by. Once the show's established, once it's a hit, and I'm certain it will be, once all that happens, then they're going to be a little looser about, okay, well, maybe we can bring in a character that the fans know and love from Clone Wars. Maybe that you know, it can show up in this one. Like, again, like Cad Bane, I think, you know, or you know, who knows? Yoda's still alive. Maybe Yoda will pop up somewhere.
Right.
You know, Obi-Wan's on the run. He's not dead. So, you know, when we get a glimpse of him, you know, setting up, you know, a rebel cell somewhere in the outer reaches, you know, Ahsoka's not dead. She's not a Jedi, but she's not dead. So, who knows? You know, again, and I'm just totally making that up. I don't know. Here's how you know I'm making it up. If I had any actual word that was going to happen, I wouldn't have said anything. So,
right. And you don't read the scripts, so.
No, exactly. So, you know, just from a fan point of view, trying to play what's going to happen game, you know, there's a lot of characters from the universe and Clone Wars in particular that are out there and still, you know, doing stuff that could show up and would not be an illogical thing. So, you know, we could see all these guys we got to know and love in Clone Wars. And, you know, again, they're not going to have a major role, I wouldn't think. Maybe, you know, an arc, perhaps. But no, this is a different story. So, you know, as much as I'd love Yoda to come swinging in on a green vine somewhere on Dagobah and battle a bunch of stormtroopers, I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see, you know?
Exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly.
That's one thing they're very good at, is not telling us anything.
They are proficient in that department. And you know what? I come from the same school of thought as you. I think that the show will find the need to establish itself and to build its own foundation. And then once that's set, might be a season or two, maybe three, but then we might start seeing the influx of some characters, situations, plot threads, what have you, from the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Well, and that would make sense, because it'll make the fans crazy happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Disney is, if you know, they didn't buy this company to lose money. In order to make money, you got to give the people what they want. And Star Wars fans are very particular about what they want. They want the old stuff. They want the new stuff, if the new stuff they love, which they do. And they want more of it. More, 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 more of it.
You're preaching to the choir.
Well, we got to do something until they finish that full-size Millennium Falcon in the new park. So,
right. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Disney parks. But, you know, something I can't let you go without asking you about: the incredible sequence where Yoda fights with his evil self, his own dark soul, comes out into reality, well, at least reality as far as Yoda knew it, and started to fight with him. And I just wonder, you know, how complex was that for you to pull all that off, to voice both characters going back and forth like that?
It was difficult. You know, we really debated as to how to do it best. You know, I wanted to give it the best performance I could. And sometimes going back and forth, and actually trying to run it like it's a scene and switch voices, that I didn't feel was going to give me the best performance. Because at that point, I'm trying to think. I'm having to switch gears, you know, sometimes in just a split second. And so what we did is we sort of decided that we would run it with Yoda, and Dave was kind of reading with me. It was like Dave was being, you know, dark Yoda, and I was being Yoda, and then we flopped, and he was Yoda and I was dark Yoda. But it kind of gave us, you know, at least we did that at least once, you know, like for the first run through. And then I just did each line, you know, several times until Dave said, yeah, 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 that's it. And then we'd move on to the next. Mm. So it was kind of a hybrid. I mean, we kind of ran it together as though we were, you know, two people doing the scene and then went back and picked up individual lines with individual characters until the master said, I am satisfied.
There you go. And, you know, that sequence essentially is it's Yoda fighting against the dark side, which grows within him. And Evil Yoda even said it. Is that what we call him, Evil Yoda?
I'm not sure what we did call it. I kind of in my head was, is it Sith Yoda, Dark Yoda?
Dark Yoda
was what was in my in my head, you know. So because, you know, I remember back when Star Wars came out, there were millions of people who don't actually speak or understand any German, but somehow some rumor. And we're talking back in 1977. There was this. Everybody was convinced that the Darth Vader meant Dark Father. Well, it's close. The Vader certainly is, but the Darth is nowhere near the German word for dark.
Right.
So everybody. But in my head, though, that's kind of what I was thinking. It was like Darth. Well, if Darth Vader is Dark Father, then maybe it's Dark Yoda, you know. So
sure.
Hey, Darth Yoda.
It works.
I have to come up with a bad name for him, though. If we got Darth Bane, we got Darth Vader. We got Darth Yoda. I'll have to come up with whatever the bad version is of Yoda.
Yoda. Yeah, we have to look up what Yoda means in German.
A great. Yes, a great mission you have launched me on.
That's it. That's it. And it was, really telling that Dark Side Yoda revealed that he's growing within Yoda as a result of the war. And the war was just unraveling these Jedi. And there was a line he said that really kind of is a sort of a paradox in a way, where he says, why do you hate what gives you power? And what is the essence of the Sith? Hatred. So how can Yoda use hate against his dark side self as a defense mechanism? I think by using hatred, that would open him up to the dark side.
Oh, well, definitely it would. And that's what I think what had Yoda nearly unhinged at moments in that fight was he was in the ultimate sense between a rock and a hard place. I mean, he's fighting something that pretty clearly had him matched move for move, because it was him. But it was just an element of himself that he had, you know, used his 900 years of Jedi training and will and to get rid of. But it's always there. I mean, you know, if you're a mortal being, I mean, there's no religion in the world that doesn't have the concept of the dark and the light and strives to purge as much dark as possible. But I don't think any of them actually pretend it's gone and can it not possibly return. And I think that's, you know, what was happening there a bit is that he was a little just completely blindsided by the fact that he suddenly realized that this whole side that he thought he had purged, as all Jedi are supposed to, and in his case had done so, you know, 500 years ago, he had not purged. It had not succeeded. It was still there. It might have been a little bit, but it was still there. But that's what, you know, with the dark side, that's all it needs is a little tiny crack, you know, a little, just open the door a little bit. I mean, look at the downfall of Anakin. That's what it was a tiny bit here, tiny bit there. And that every time it gets a little easier for the dark side to rear its, you know, ugly head.
So true.
And in the case of Dark Yoda, it was a very ugly head. I mean, I love Yoda, but he's not exactly a Calvin Klein model to begin with.
No, sir, he is not. Well, that, you know what, that's some great insight on that struggle Yoda was going through. And, you know, as we start to wrap up the arc, it becomes obvious to us that Yoda he's jumping through different realities, and he's in one place and then he's in another place. And so it just leads me to believe that at the end of it all, the whole thing was just a big force trip, and that he never actually even left that hospital bed, that the whole thing was just going on in his head. He was tripping through the force. Now, yeah. we do have some examples at the very end, which might dispute what I just said, but nothing set in stone specifically was said. You know, Mace and Anakin confront Yoda at the very end of the story arc when they're back at the temple, and they said, you know, we're ready to hear everything you experienced. But they didn't necessarily identify his trip as being something physical. It could have been metaphysical. It could have been all via the Force.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we don't know. And again, but the cool thing is we don't need to know. That element, whether he really physically did some of that, or it was just in his head, fortunately doesn't change the outcome. But it does. What it does make you wonder is, what would have happened if in the middle of all that he'd lost? Mm-hmm. What would have happened if he lost to Dark Side Yoda? I mean, that's something that I keep thinking about, is whether he was there in the flesh, whether he was in the hospital bed. What if he'd lost? Would he have woken up and been dark? Mm. Would he have been dead? Mm. That's a whole nother,
Yeah, I think it would have just been so overwhelming. It might have just would have wiped him out, you know.
I think it would have. My opinion would have killed him either way.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. We'll be talking about this particular story arc for years to come. I've seen it a few times now, and every time I finish watching it, I say, "Wow, that really begs another viewing," because there's just so much going on, and there's so much you can interpret and get out of it and apply to other moments throughout the mythology. And, you know, Star Wars is ever evolving and always changing my opinions about things that I thought I had figured out years ago when it comes to that mythology. And wow, what an achievement it was. Again, I have to say congratulations to you. I'm so happy that these episodes actually did see the light of day. I really think that having the series begin with Ambush, a Yoda-centric episode, and having it end with these four episodes, it really just is symmetrically perfect, in my opinion.
Well, that's a very elegant way to put it, but yes, thank you.
Sure. And also, hey, we loved your March Madness video you did with Max Kellerman on ESPN. That was good stuff.
Yes, I wish my bracket picks as Yoda had done had done as well as the fine job that they did up at Industrial Light and Magic on the CGI.
Right.
I think Yoda is clearly, I can't blame him. Those were me. I think if Yoda actually had searched the Force, he would have done a little better than I sadly represented on the actual Fox Sports bracket.
The love for Salacious Crumb was a little out of character, I felt.
I just read what they put in front of me.
Sure you do. And hopefully they'll be putting Yoda dialogue in front of you for years to come.
Oh, I hope so too.
You were portraying the character before Star Wars The Clone Wars, and I'm sure you're going to be portraying it for years and years. But back to that ESPN video. It must have been a thrill for you to see a photorealistic Yoda.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done commercials where they did full-on CGI.
Yes, the Pepsi commercial is what I'm thinking
of.
GPS.
I've done a whole bunch of stuff that is running in Europe for Vodafone. You guys want to see a bunch of Yoda CGI stuff that looks terrific, just Google Vodafone Yoda TV commercials. And there's, I think we made a half a dozen or more, and they're, I guess they're making more next year. But yeah, those are terrific as well. Yeah. There's actually a lot of really cool ads that run in Europe that feature Darth Vader and C-3PO and Yoda that we never see here. So, and some of them are just wonderful. But there's a Darth Vader spot for a company over in the UK that's like their version of Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Vader's ship lands and, you know, boom, boom, boom. And, you know, the platform lowers and he comes out with his, you know, phalanx of guards and he's going to come force choke somebody. And it's wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent. They should do a public service announcement here for Darth Vader and the Heimlich maneuvers. So, you know, he's.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I think they should do anything here that allows more Star Wars to be seen.
There you go. There you go. That's what we're here for, too. So, Tom Kane, so great to get caught up with you. Do you have any convention appearances coming up in the near future?
I believe in April, somewhere in April, end of April, I'm going to be in Salt Lake. But I know there's a couple more that toward the end of the year. I believe I'm going to Star Wars Weekends. We'll find out whether that's confirmed or not shortly. So.
Great, great. That's great news, yeah. We'll be out there Memorial Day weekend, so maybe it'll sync up. The Will of the Force will reunite us, and we'll have a good old time in Orlando as we've done in the past. All right, Tom. Well, thank you again so much for your time. I know you're a very busy guy, and pass along our best to both Yoda and Darkseid Yoda. We're big fans.
I will indeed.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Appreciate it. I do. Yes.
Yes. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yoda, my old friend, it is I, Qui-Gon Jinn.
The voice I hear does not come from within, but speaks from beyond.
You must complete what I could not. Come to Dagobah. The answers you seek are here.
Now, you got your own show, No Force Radio.
So, Steve, tell me a little bit about your Star Wars collecting habits these days. I know that you were a collector from way back. I know your brother, you received some of his hand-me-downs over the years. As a matter of fact, I mean, I wasn't planning on bringing this up, but your brother passed away, and that's kind of his legacy, was his collection of Star Wars toys that he left to you. Yeah. And I'm sure whenever you look at those old vintage toys, it connects you with your brother and sort of continues his legacy.
Definitely. And growing up, I was a huge Star Wars collector of all the vintage Kenner stuff. And when Hasbro brought the vintage line back around, I'm very much in the Kyle Newman camp of why would you ever change anything about that? But I always just collect what I like, and it usually sticks with that 3 3/4 line. And I've seen some stuff here as of late, the past few months, and about the past nine or ten months. I've not been in a place to be able to collect like I'd like to, but I can't help but go to the stores, look around online, and just drool over some of these Black Series figures they have. The 6-inch and the 3 3/4 lines just look amazing. And as soon as I get everything straightened out where I can get a few of those bad boys, they'll be adorning the Star Wars room along with all of my other stuff.
So you're like me. You have a Star Wars room.
I'm broadcasting from the Star Wars room right now, Jimmy.
Wow, that's awesome. So what are you looking like? Just look right in front of you. What do you see?
Directly in front of me is an Empire Strikes Back glass from 1980.
A Burger King?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, which one is it? Lando?
It's actually Lando's looking right at me.
Excellent, excellent. Billy D Quote of the Week coming up soon.
I've got posters on the walls, and then I just have shelves with different stuff. I've got an Empire Strikes Back shelf with a TIE bomber and some stuff from Cloud City. I've got an Episode 1 shelf with a Pod Racer and a Naboo Starfighter. The centerpiece in the room is the vintage Death Star playset, complete with foam and rope. And right behind it is the big Millennium Falcon. So it's just a mixture of all kinds of fun things, of vintage and more modern stuff, with some different trinkets thrown in here and there, some various Burger King glasses. I've got Return of the Jedi, Star Wars, and Empire Strikes Back glasses all over the place, and just posters on the walls. It's great. It's a good time.
Well, you mentioned you like to drool over those Black Series action figures when mm-hmm. you see them online and everything, and you know, something that drives me crazy about trying to collect this stuff is having to go out to these big box stores like your Walmarts or Targets and just go there and you see nothing on the pegs and you leave there feeling defeated, deflated, and
just empty inside.
Empty. It's just an emptiness. You want to walk out of there with action figures in your arms. And so what I do then is I take it online and I go to DorksideToys.com. We love DorksideToys.com so much. We are actual customers of Dorkside Toys here at Rebel Force Radio, and they appreciate you guys, Rebel Force Radio listeners. They have Star Wars action figures starting as low as $3.99. That was $4 for brand new Star Wars action figures. And, you know, it's a selection of them, but you are guaranteed to find them at DorksideToys.com. Plus, you'll find vehicles, the Black Series, the little ones and the big ones. You get the 3 3/4 inch and the 6 inch action figures. Some of those 6 inch action figures are hard to find. Dorkside has had them, so now I have them. They're in my collection because I was smart. I went to Dorkside Toys. I didn't waste time. I didn't waste gas. And let's face it, time and gas equal money. So if you want to save money and save time and save headache, go to Dorkside Toys right now. And it's not just Star Wars. They also have DC, Marvel, G.I. Joe, Walking Dead, and the new Funko action figures too. Pre-orders. So you can rest assured knowing you're going to be getting the action figures you want when they are released. It's an awesome place. DorksideToys.com. Same day shipping as long as you order before 1 p.m. Central. And they have a super saving flat rate shipping from $5.99. So you just want to go to ShotGlassDigital.com and click on the Dorkside banner. That way they know you are a Rebel Force Radio listener and they will take extra special care of your order. So that's all you have to do. Go to ShotGlassDigital.com, click on the Dorkside banner, and you will be taken to Dorkside Toys. It is awesome.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, Steve, we got some listener feedback here, and this is always fun to get to when we have the time. It seems so unfortunate that we run out of time each and every week here on Rebel Force Radio, and we don't always get the listener feedback. So I'm happy to be getting to it tonight. Here's an email from Rob. Rob says he sent us an MP3, and this is interesting. Rob says, you may find this proper to play before announcing that something is, in fact, G level of canon, the George level. Some people call it the God level, but it means the ultimate level of Star Wars canon. We're talking about the films and we're talking about the Clone Wars animated series. So whenever we're going to talk about something that is G level, we're supposed to play this.
G level canon.
Where did he get the music from the old Kenner toy commercials?
That did sound kind of like that.
It did, didn't it?
That, you know, and I know that there's diehard vintage collectors that have been scouring the globe trying to get a copy of that music, you know, without the announcer talking over it and everything. I don't know if anyone's ever had any luck digging through the old Kenner archives to try to dig that bad boy up, but
G-level canon.
We will be using that definitely here on Rebel Force Radio. You can count on it. We will definitely. I got to hear that again. That was fabulous.
G-level canon.
Yes.
It also sounds like on like Sesame Street, whenever they'd have a king come walking in or something.
Right. Yes, yes. Or King Friday the 13th from Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what that guy sounded like. Mr. Rogers. G level. So, thank you so much, Rob. That is an awesome little piece of production. And speaking of fanfares, Steve, this is some feedback we got regarding our episode 1 commentary with Sam Witwer.
Yeah.
This comes from Mark T. And Mark says, Just got done listening to the Ep 1 commentary, and it was fantastic as usual. Really opened my eyes to watch the film with some different eyes. Lately, I've been trying not to be so critical, and I've been watching the movies with younger eyes and have been enjoying them much more nowadays. Anyway, not sure if you found the fanfare you were talking about that could be used in place of the Fox fanfare, but I included it, so check it out. So let me get to the bottom of this here. Sam mentioned that the 20th Century Fox fanfare will most likely not be featured at the beginning of Star Wars Episode 7, because obviously it will not be 20th Century Fox distributing the film. It will be Disney. So we are led to assume that there's no way at all, Snowball's chance on Mustafar, that that the fanfare for a competing film company would be used at the beginning of the next Star Wars film. I mean, that would be absurd, no matter how iconic it's become and how connected it's become to Star Wars over the years. It's just not going to be used. So Sam offered an alternate.
The thing that I hope Disney does, they actually have a opening fanfare from their old movies that would fit Star Wars quite well. Maybe if one of the fans out there could look up what this is, there used to be a logo of Mickey Mouse that would spin, and there'd be a song that went bam 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 bam. Like that's what they need to use. It's a Disney theme. They used it for years. It was, I believe, in the beginning of, I think it was in the beginning of Black Hole. I'm not sure. Maybe 20,000 Leagues. I'm not maybe not 20,000 Leagues. I'm not sure, but it was for a while their opening fanfare, and it's so similar. Well, it's similar in not musically, but in style and in tone.
Sure.
That they should go back into their libraries and find the one that works the best. And it's, you know, because the original Star Wars, they have that old, hell, Episode 4, they use an old recording of the 20th Century Fox fanfare, and it worked very, very well.
Sam remembered a Disney fanfare from back in the day that somewhat resembled the 20th Century Fox fanfare. And it didn't really ring any bells with me, but you guys, the listeners, guys like Mark T, you took to the emails and you sent us a lot of different samples. This one in particular that I have here from Mark, I did confirm with Sam that I said, Sam, is this the fanfare you were thinking of? And he said, absolutely it is. So just to give you an idea, what we might hear prior to Star Wars Episode 7, prior to those words a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away showing up on a screen, maybe instead of the 20th Century Fox fanfare, we'll hear this old gem from the Disney archives.
This old gem.
Yes. G-level cannon! Oh, sorry. So wow, you know, I can see that being a placeholder. I still hold on to the belief that they are just going to go silent, and we'll see the Lucasfilm logo up there, and it'll say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, Jim, have you seen Thor: The Dark World?
No, so now I have not seen. That's the latest Thor. I have not seen it yet. I'm kicking myself for not at least making the rental happen at this point. Definitely, I've been informed by my 11-year-old. We're definitely seeing Captain America opening weekend, but maybe I'll do a Thor chaser following it.
Well, I tell you, it's worth a view. It's worth a watch. But one of the things that has happened with Thor: The Dark World is they rolled out a new Marvel Studios logo. It's the same red background and white Marvel letters with studio, you know, Marvel Studio letters, same font and everything. But it comes in a 3D style with all the comics flipping down, and there's a new fanfare that goes with it. It's about 30 seconds long. It's on the Thor: The Dark World soundtrack, and it was written by Brian Tyler, who composed the score for Thor 2, as well as the score for Iron Man 3. And this got me thinking way back when I saw that in theaters. There was just kind of a light bulb went on, and it was even brought around even fuller listening to you guys on Star Wars Oxygen when you were going through the Episode 4 soundtrack and talking about how George Lucas wanted this feel and for this to sound like this, and John Williams, and you actually played the pieces that inspired what John Williams did in some places in that movie, and how, you know, and how he made it sound the same way that George was wanting it to sound. Mm-hmm. I really can see there being a whole new Lucasfilm logo rolled out. And because if you watch the Marvel movies, there's no Disney anything at the beginning of those. It all comes at the end of the tail end of the credits.
Mm.
I could see them going straight up Lucasfilm with a whole new 20-30 second fanfare for Lucasfilm to go black to that harkens back to that 20th Century Fox fanfare without being the 20th Century Fox fanfare. And then it goes to the black, silent, you know, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Boom, we're into Star Wars. But I really feel like that could be the case with what they do with and get John Williams to score a whole new 20-30 second fanfare.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And only time will tell. We'll find out soon enough. Year and a half away, Steve. Almost, yep. Well, maybe, you know, give or take a few months, but it's pretty exciting time in fandom as we look forward to things like this. Couldn't let it rest though. I had to take that Disney fanfare and I wanted to match it up with the Star Wars music just to sort of get a feel for how it could work if they actually did decide to use this old piece of vintage music. So here it is again, that classic Disney fanfare. It rolls right into the John Williams main theme to Star Wars with a little pause there for A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. All right, well, you know, that's a... Yeah. That's a little flavor. Not seamless like the 20th Century Fox fanfare is, but interesting nonetheless. So, the bottom line is, if Sam Witwer thinks it's cool, then it's cool.
That's true.
This is Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
Hello, what have we here?
It's just me, Billy D.
And don't mess this up, man. Be smooth.
Lando's right.
Billy D. Sorry, baby, it's just business.
Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler.
Works every time.
And Lando Calrissian is forever.
Yes, Lando Calrissian is forever, and he lives on in the most unlikely of places. That's right. It's ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Wow. Did you see the first week Billy Dee's debut on Dancing with the Stars, week one?
I'll be honest with you. I couldn't bring myself to do it, Jim.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. We watch Dancing with the Stars, so you don't have to. That's our
motto. And I appreciate that.
You bet. But before we get to our week two review of Dancing with the Stars, Billy Dee's, he's out there and he's on the promotional trail to spread the word about his competition in this show. And he landed at LA's KLOS Radio on the Heidi and Frank show. And they're also featured on Dish Nation. And they're talking to him about his adventures on Dancing with the Stars. But Billy Dee kind of takes a sidetrack. He goes on a little tangent and kind of drops a hint. This could be a bombshell, actually, about something else he's been up to.
But it's like, as far as the Dancing with the Stars, you can recognize a lot more by a lot of different people.
Well, Lando's alive and well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I just did something that I can't talk about. But
he was right there.
It involves Lando and the whole. It's a real good saga.
Ah,
A real good saga.
A saga, a Lando saga. This is something that involves Lando. Billy Dee just wrapped it up. Do you have any guesses, any predictions?
Voices for Rebels?
Voices for Rebels is exactly where I'm leaning towards. Exactly. Feature a young Lando. The Rebels bump into him, And
they bump into him at TANAB. They bump into him at TANAB.
Ooh, and they got to see his maneuver.
They get to see his maneuver at the Battle of TANAB.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I had to calm down and get cool. I just got really excited about the prospects of seeing his maneuver myself. That sounds kind of weird. So.
Yes, I hope we're talking about flying spaceships.
That's right. Yeah, well, we are, you know, but I could learn a few maneuvers from Billy Dee. It wouldn't hurt.
Who couldn't? So, yeah, well, you know, that's just kind of out of nowhere. He says he wrapped up a project that features Lando Calrissian. I wonder what it's going to be. I'm thinking Star Wars Rebels myself. Yeah. So hopefully we'll find out at some point here in season one of Rebels as that kicks off later this year. But what's happening now in the world of Billy Dee is Dancing with the Stars in week two. Came and went this week. Billy Dee, once again, with his partner Emma Slater, who you can judge their dancing performances on the floor all you want, but there is one thing that you cannot deny about these two is they do have a palpable chemistry, and I think that's a lot of fun, and it's very obvious when you watch the show. Now, they feature these little clips before the pairs dance, and it sort of fills you in on like what's going on in their head, how the week was rehearsing and everything. And Billy Dee was coming off of a rough debut. Let's just say it was a Star Wars, very Star Wars inspired performance. He was dancing to the disco version of the Star Wars main theme. He was surrounded by Ewoks and stormtroopers and the lovely Emma Slater with the Carrie Fisher buns in her hair and wearing something that was, I'd say, derivative of the Slave Leia costume. They were dancing the cha-cha. But it didn't go over very well with the judges, and they gave him a low score of 15 out of 30, and it was devastating to Billy Dee. So as we see the clip package here before they actually hit the dance floor, you realize that Billy Dee's a little down in the dumps about his performance last week.
You know, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I see an old man doing the tango.
Is that hurt your back?
Yeah, my back is killing me, and it was killing me more because I was feeling very negative. I look like an old man trying to be a young person.
No, you don't.
Oh,
she's there to offer support to him.
That doesn't sound like the Billy Dee we know and love.
It isn't. So obviously he's, he's feeling the effects of the critical drubbing he took.
I look like an old man.
For his debut performance, And I feel sad. I feel sad for Billy Dee. My heart goes out to him because I think that he deserves the respect of a legend. And he doesn't have to earn our respect here at the Billy Dee Quote of the Week. He gets it each and every week. But,
you know what, Jim? If he were here with you, he'd say, I'm sorry I couldn't do more.
He probably would.
And you could say, yeah, I'm sorry too.
God bless him. God bless you, Billy Dee Williams. So Emma Slater, being the marvelous partner she is, she realizes that she knows exactly what to do to cheer Billy Dee up. I know, I'm just letting that hang out there for a second. But she really does. She brought in two more dancers. Two more girls. So triple the pleasure. What's that?
I thought you were going to say Colt 45. It works every time.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be triple the pleasure for Billy Dee Williams as he meets two new dance partners, courtesy of Emma Slater.
Billy feels like his body is the thing that holds him back, and I don't want him to be defeated by that. I want him to have a good time.
Hi, ladies.
Billy.
This is Lindsay and Jenna.
Hello.
They're going to be part of our tango routine.
Oh, wonderful.
It's very energizing to have pretty girls dancing with me.
A foursome. No. I just decided to have more fun and just smile and laugh. And tomorrow, I hope to have even more fun.
I am the master of my fate.
Yes!
So, Billy Dee. So he's got wind in the sails now.
Let me tell you something. The ladies come around and Billy Dee's like, hello, what have we here?
Exactly. Correct a mundo.
I mean, completely 180 when the ladies show up, sir.
Yes! Yeah, all of a sudden, yeah, right. Wind in the sails. Here he goes. Billy Dee is back.
Yeah! That was the heck. Where are the producers? They need to say, could you do the yeehaw from
the yes was great. We're probably going to use that, but how about a yeehaw?
Yeah.
What do you got? What do you got in the way of a yeehaw? So, they bring out Lobot, and they'll probably get the yeehaw.
Oh, well, yeah. Or Neonum, Nine Num, however you say it.
Yeah. They're missing golden opportunities here. Hello. They brought out Ewoks for the first show, and Billy Dee, he hardly had any connection to the Ewoks.
He just sat there and jammed to their groove, man. That's all he did.
At the very end, yeah.
Yep, the very end.
Enjoyed a few appetizers, listened to some music. But no, he didn't have adventures with them. He was out there with Nine Num. He was there with Lobot and the Ugnaughts.
I don't know. I wouldn't enjoy the Ewoks appetizers. But anyhow, because look at what they're cooking, man. Well, they're cooking men. So.
Look what they're cooking, man. You just answered your own question. And by the way, Lobot and the Ugnaughts is a quality rock band name. So anyone out there, you can take it. I just need proof of your gig. I'll send you a Rebel Force Radio t-shirt. You gig once in the public as Lobot and the Ugnaughts. And you and your band, you all get Rebel Force Radio t-shirts.
I'm doing it. The band together.
So Billy Dee and the three girls, they hit the dance floor. They do a tango to the Peter Gunn theme.
Oh.
And it was entertaining and effective. But again, Billy Dee was very minimalist in his moves. He wasn't exactly cutting the rug, as it were. He was just out there being cool as gorgeous girls dance around him. I mean, what's wrong with that? Well, the judges had a big problem with that. And once again, they criticized him, I think, unfairly. And they gave him the low score of 15 out of 30. So what we need now is for Billy Dee fans worldwide to unite and call this number, 1-800-868-3405, to vote for Billy Dee. Keep him on the show. That's what we need. And if you're taken to the social networking, use hashtag Team Slando. Slando meaning Slater and Lando. You got it. So, of course, follow Billy Dee online. He's on Twitter and everything. So show him your support as he works hard to compete in the grueling Dancing with the Stars. If you've got a Billy Dee quote of the week you'd like us to feature here on Rebel Force Radio, send it to us, show at Rebel Force Radio. Subject line, Billy Dee.
Yes!
My goodness, what a show this week on Rebel Force Radio. I almost didn't miss Jason Swank. Steve Glosson, so happy you were able to come and hang out with me. You, of course, are always welcome to the co-host seat. If Jason's here or he's not here, it doesn't matter. You are a member of our family, and I'm looking so forward to going to Star Wars weekends with you, Memorial Day weekend, just a mere 2 months away, as we have a great time with Rebel Force Radio listeners and our own fangirls, and so many more cool people are going to be out there. Looking forward to having the whole Disney experience. I've never been to Star Wars weekends myself, so I'm really looking forward to it. And the only thing that can make it better is to be able to hang out with you guys who listen to the show and, of course, my friend Steve Glosson.
Jim, I'm looking forward to May in a big, big way, and I really appreciate you having me on tonight. I'll always be the Wookiee for you guys. You just holler at me anytime, and I'll be there.
Have we ever heard your Wookiee impersonation before?
I don't think so.
Is it going to happen? Solid gold, my friend. Solid gold. I knew I wasn't putting you on the spot. I knew you'd bring the goods.
I'm always ready.
Beautiful, beautiful.
We'll
thank
put
you
Slink in a backpack. He can be like 3PO in pieces on me.
Save that for Star Wars Celebration Anaheim in 2015. We'll do that for sure. Thank you so much to Star Wars The Clone Wars voice actor Tom Kane. And again, congratulations to Tom on an amazing, amazing season 6 of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Also, thanks to our friend from the 501st, Scott Allen, and the Southern California Garrison. Great job inducting Alan Ladd Jr. as an honorary member, a friend of the Legion in the 501st. And of course, thank you, Alan Ladd Jr., for giving Star Wars a green light. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, my friend. Of course, big honking thanks to Steve Glosson. Thank you so much, Steve. We're going to be on spring break next week.
Woo!
Pate! That's right. We're taking the week off, but fear not. RFR will return on Friday, April 11th. We already are putting the plans together to present you with an awesome show, and I'm really looking forward to it. Swank will be back. Can't wait for that. And in the meantime, hey, there's still plenty of Star Wars content on the Rebel Force Radio Network. You can find Clone Wars Declassified, Radio 1138, Star Wars Oxygen, Fangirls Going Rogue, Star Wars Influences. We just released a new Star Wars Influences with Paul Bateman this week, and that's a really great show if you love Ralph McQuarrie and you love the creative forces behind the Star Wars saga. That's a show you don't want to miss. And of course, the Star Wars Collector's Cast with Curdo and Burns. Plus, you can get caught up on episodes of Rebel Force Radio you may have missed in recent history here. We've had some great guests like Dave Filoni, supervising director of Star Wars The Clone Wars and executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. Dave Filoni was on the show recently. Of course, Sam Witwer appears regularly on our show to provide amazing film commentaries of the Star Wars films. We just wrapped The Phantom Menace, and that show is available at RebelForceRadio.com. Of course, Topher Grace, you know him from That 70s Show. He joined us recently to talk about the wars and so many more awesome guests. Just go to RebelForceRadio.com and you will find each and every show there. Of course, support our sponsors, Dorkside Toys and Little Debbie Snack Cakes. And as we mentioned, join myself, Steve Glosson, and Rebel Force Radio listeners from all over the globe on Memorial Day weekend at Disney's Star Wars Weekends in Orlando. Of course, if you are taking a plane, if you're looking to book some tickets on an aircraft, contact our friend Kristen Goh at magicaljourneystravel.com/Rebel Force, and she will give you the deets on how you can make it happen, Captain. And of course, speaking of Kristen, you want to listen to Rebel Force Radio every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on srsounds.com. That's Disney Radio on the Internet. You could also hear us on the Live 365 app every Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern at SR Sounds. Don't forget Rebel Force Radio t-shirts. We got them. You want them. Just come to shotglassdigital.com. That's the home of our podcasting network that includes things like Bondcast, Techno Retro Dads. What's that one show? Oh, yeah. Geek Out Loud. You ever hear of that one, Steve?
No, is it good?
It's all right. It's all right.
I'll have to check it out.
Once you get used to the hosts, they have very thick accents.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I don't either. But they're fabulous. And everyone at Shot Glass Digital, you guys are an awesome family of quality internet radio programming. So go to Shot Glass Digital and get yourself a Rebel Force Radio t-shirt and support our efforts as we continue to bring you what we hope is the finest Star Wars content you can find on the internet or anywhere. Wow, Steve, what a show. I had so much fun. I feel like we can do another one, but we can't.
Let's don't say we did.
No, we got spring break. We got to go out. We got to hit the beaches. I got you signed up for at least 3 wet t-shirt contests, so we better get going before we're
ready to win that. You know, last time I was at the beach, a whale swam up to me, pointed at my belly button, and said, "Hey, that's a substantial blowhole you got there."
Oh, God. Unrehearsed, ladies and gentlemen, unrehearsed. Brilliant. Steve Glosson, ladies and gentlemen, check him out on the fine podcast produced at the Geek Out Loud family. So that's going to do it for us this week here at Rebel Force Radio. On behalf of Jason Swank and Steve Glosson, I'm Jimmy Mack. And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
Yeah!